This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Jill Freitas. I'll be the new host of Our Living Lands, taking the place of Antonia Gonzalez. We are so grateful to Antonia for her time with us and wish her the best. Kiara Tanta Quijin is a Mohican community advocate and health researcher. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to Tanta Quijin about public health challenges facing Indigenous communities and the connections between health and climate.
You know, many Native communities face unique public health challenges that are tied to historical inequities. From your perspective as a public health researcher, what are some of the most pressing health issues facing Indigenous communities today?
That's a great question. I think what's very important when we have these conversations is to note how diverse Indian country is and how different, you know, every Indigenous community is. There are 575 federally recognized tribes. There are even more state recognized and unrecognized nations. So just recognizing that diversity, I think I'll answer this question from my personal experience as someone growing up in the Mohican community, but also meeting Native youth from other communities and noticing that there are some similarities in our experiences. I think as Indigenous people, health is not just the absence of disease. It is a balance between all aspects of the self, the mind, body, emotions, the spirit, all of those things. And so maintaining that balance and maintaining all of the things that's necessary to be healthy and to be well are really challenging when the kind of system is stacked up against you.
Your work centers health equity and climate justice. How are environmental changes like, you know, extreme weather patterns or just, you know, food systems that are changing affecting the health and well-being of Indigenous people today?
Oh, a lot. In many ways, you know, in physical health, of course, we see the impact due to, like you said, the food systems, lack of access to healthy foods, healthy, affordable foods, the growing concern about what's really in our foods. I think also we see this mental health impact for Indigenous communities specifically. Like, I know I was born and raised to have a very close relationship with Mother Earth, understanding that that relationship is reciprocal. So just as the earth and the land gives things to me to keep me well, like food, like the air I breathe, I am responsible for giving back to the land and to Mother Earth as well.
And you mentioned earlier that you're a citizen of the Mohican tribe. What are some of the health concerns or even environmental concerns that are relevant in your community? And how are your people responding to those challenges?
Yeah, one of the first one that comes to my mind in terms of environmental health and our relationship to the land is the concerns we have around our waterways nearby. So there's the Thames River, which is what it's kind of called colonially. We know it as the Pequot River or the Mohegan Pequot River. There were beautiful waterways that provided as well. And so they went down there and created this relationship with the river. And now we kind of don't have that relationship with the river in the same way. I think spiritually it still exists, but we're not able to use it in a way of sustenance. The water is not safe for folks to fish or to clam out of. Even if you are to do like clamming or something for the sake of, like, if you get quahog and you want to make wampum out of it, even the purple color of the wampum is like bleached now. It's not as vibrant and purple as it used to be coming out of the Thames or the Pequot River. And that's because of, you know, the long, long history of Norwich, Connecticut is a mill town. And it's connected to that river. So there's a long history of environmental concerns with the Thames River that have made it really challenging for us as Mohegan people to really maintain our relationship with the river, or at least maintain the relationship that our ancestors maintained with it.
That really just leads up to my next question perfectly too, because I know that you work closely with the youth and advocate for cultural preservation. When you think about the future of Indigenous health and climate resilience, what gives you hope? And a follow-up question to that would just be like, what role do you think Indigenous knowledge will play in shaping a healthier environment for the next generation?
Yeah, I am filled with hope, I think, amidst all of the grief and sadness I can feel around what's happening right now. And that is because of the youth and the young people that I meet, whether it be through my work as the founder, president, and CEO of the Sunrise Healing Community, where we are doing kind of culturally grounded programming to connect youth to culturally relevant healing resources, which a lot of the times is, you know, rooted in the land. I'm very confident that no matter what happens, these youth will always be on the ground doing the work that needs to be done, returning to their traditional cultural ways of knowing and being to get that work done. And it's such a beautiful thing to see.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Jill Freitas for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.